Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Are you working double time to get your beach body ready for that summer vacation? And after miles and miles now starting to feel the agony of defeat? Well, we've got a show for you today, which is terrific. And it's with Dr. Doug Tooman. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in Kingston for more than 16 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. Hey, Doug Tooman, Dr. Tooman, thank you so much for being on the Vox Pop with us. We love it when you're here.
It's great to be here, and I can't tell you, not a day goes by where people don't say, I heard you on Alan's show.
See, there you go. So I'm going to ask you this right now before I go any further. Sometimes I reach for the scale that is on the floor with my right foot, and then I drag it back, but my foot goes into spasm and stays that way. What's that about?
That muscle spasm. It happens in various times. A lot of people get it in bed at night.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just move your foot the wrong way and those muscles just cramp up and it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, now my next question for all of us out there who are involved in summertime exercise and walking regimens and the rest of it is we get athlete's foot. And what is it and how do we get rid of it?
It's fungus. There's a fungus among us.
Among us, yeah. I got it.
And it's common in hot weather, especially if you're wearing shoes and socks and things that can make a difference. Give your tootsies a little more air. Get into some sandals if you can. Get a beach vacation. You know, that's
defeat,
beach body.
Agony of defeat.
In the nice, exactly. The beaches are great with the salt water to soak your feet. But there's over-the-counter topical medications, and a little bit here and there will clear that up between the toes at the bottom of the foot. And if it doesn't work, then there's prescription stuff that's a lot stronger.
Oh, so, take your foot right off. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Doug in Colony. All right,
hey.
Doug, you're there.
Hello. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I'm calling about a Morton's neuroma.
Yep.
I've had this neuroma about over 35 years. Usually, this does not bother me. It kicks up once in a while. Mm-hmm. It used to kick up when I was running, and at that time, I would just wrap it with some tissue. The two toes with tissue, mm-hmm. and then I would take some aspirin that took care of it. In recent years, it's bothered me sometimes when I've been skiing. And the last time I was skiing, it was became increasingly more severe, and eventually so severe that I could barely tolerate it. It was so painful. And I went to a podiatrist in the ski area and got a shot of steroids, which immediately took care of it. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, it doesn't bother me, so I had planned to get alcohol treatment to dissolve it this fall when I wasn't in between sporting seasons.
Yeah.
But I'm planning to go to Chile in 2 weeks and ski with one of my kids who lives down there.
Uh-huh.
And so I was thinking that right before I went, it would be reasonable, from my point of view, to get a prophylactic shot of steroids. Because I'm pretty sure it's going to flare up using the same
sequence. Okay. I know this could go on a little longer, but there are other people behind you. So very quickly, Doug, what is Morton's neuroma?
Morton's neuroma is an entrapped or pinched nerve that becomes painful in the ball of your foot. It feels like sometimes there's a sock rolled up in your forefoot, or there's pain or numbness or tingling or just sharp pain that goes out into the ball of the foot and the toe. So it's a compressed nerve. And you're right, those treatments do work. I'm not always so big, Doug, by the way, or another Doug runner, that's good. Not so big on prophylactic injections if it's not painful, because every injection has its positives and negatives.
What's the negatives?
Right. Well, the negatives are you can thin the tissue on the bottom of the foot, and you can just do some things. If you don't give a good injection, you can do a little. Most doctors won't do that. But you just want to be careful. I'm not certain that you don't need a new pair of ski boots, a little bit bigger, wider, because that compression in the forefoot would be a problem. You may want to rent your boots next time as opposed to taking them with you to Chile and get a bigger size. And then alcohol blocks do work. Corticosteroid injections work. And then long-term, there's some things like cryotherapy where we freeze the nerve, or a long-term treatment cure with something called neurectomy where you actually take it out. So
take what out?
The little bad piece of nerve in the ball of the foot.
Okay, Doug, very quickly.
Yeah.
You have a comeback, Doug, yes?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, but did you want to ask?
Yeah. Well, if I had water ski boots, I couldn't ski aggressively. So I figured that the solution seemed to me to be the alcohol injections. And it sounds like, you know, I don't want to get an injection for a problem that doesn't exist at the moment.
Okay, we got it. But Doug, again, I want to go back to the doctor. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have an injection of alcohol or steroid before you left. If it's not painful at all, I'm not sure that it's going to stop the pain after it comes either. So you treat the symptoms as they develop. Alcohol blocks are no more effective than steroid blocks, Doug. Obviously, there's a 50-60% success rate. It's usually a series of three. It's another treatment option for Morton's neurone and tissue corticosteroids.
What if you put some salt on it?
Hey, salt and pepper. He's already using tissues and aspirin.
Why did I say that?
Had a cold.
Why did I say that?
Why did you say that?
Because it's Morton's salt. Okay. Thanks, Doug. Bye-bye.
See you.
Okay.
Good luck.
And let's go to Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on.
Oh, hello. Hi, Doug. I'm your neighbor.
Hi, Harriet.
I'm the lady with the dogs.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Here's a kind of weird question. I have, during the day, I could wear maybe two or three or four different types of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll change to walk the dogs, and at home, maybe I'll just wear flat-bottom slippers, and maybe there's an event in the evening and for high heels or whatever. And so I could change my shoes during the day. And when I do, my feet always feel really different for each kind of shoe. You mm-hmm. know, I feel pressures in different places mm-hmm. and stretching and stuff. I'm just wondering if that's good for feet or mm-hmm. bad.
Well, that's a good question, Harriet, and she is a great walker.
Yeah.
multiple dogs, multiple walks. Each day she takes good care of her dogs. And the answer to the question is changing shoes in general is very good, especially if you have painful feet. So if you have painful feet, it's good to change the pressure points in the areas that take the pressure, and that's a good thing. If you don't have painful feet, I'm thinking maybe just wear the comfortable shoes that make you feel really good.
Well, but she doesn't want to. She's got to go to an evening cocktail party in those 9-inch heels. You know,
high heels in Woodstock is kind of like a weird thing, but it can still happen.
Whatever you feel comfortable in is best. There's nothing wrong with changing shoes, and they do feel differently. So feel free to change shoes, wear the same shoe, as long as your feet don't hurt. Either way is great.
Now, back to the athlete's foot question. Mm-hmm. If some of her shoes, there's a residue of, is that how it gets the fungus? It goes into the shoe and onto your foot?
Yeah, it can. I mean, if the shoes are wet, especially if they get moist.
And how do you prevent that from having you put some stuff in there?
Well, dry them out really good. A lot of people's feet don't sweat, so they don't have any residue, or they don't have fungus to begin with. But if they do get wet, the shoes, you dry them out, and that's a good time to switch shoes every other day. People that sweat with their feet wear a pair of shoe on Monday and don't wear it again until Wednesday. Yeah. So that's good.
Now, Harriet, when you walk those dogs, you do pick up the poop, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Which is something in my neighborhood that gets me very. I put up signs.
Our dogs are small, so it's easy.
Well, that's easy. Hey, Harriet, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Bye. I liked Harriet. She's a nice lady.
Harriet is a nice lady.
Yeah.
And now I know her name because I always forget.
Is that right? Yeah, I forget names also.
The woman walks the dog.
Do you believe that my sense of things are that? The less we recognize other people, the more egomaniacal we are. And I don't remember anybody's name. So, there's only room for us.
That could be.
1-800-348-2551. Right now, if you call now, you're going to get in, unbelievably. We're going to take a short break right this second because you're not there. When we come back, you'll be there, I know. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Laurie Stilwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. New York State tobacco-free community partners working to reduce youth and adult smoking rates across the state and help save lives. New York State tobacco-free community partners at smokefreecapital.org. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up. snowfarm.org. And Woodstock Playhouse, presenting professional summer stock theater. Legally Blonde, Equus, and Chicago now through August 11th. woodstockplayhouse.org for tickets.
And we are back. And we are with Doug Tooman. All five phones are ringing like crazy right now. Okay, we'll go to Charles. Okay, Charles, are you in Huntington?
Hello.
Hello, Charles. Are you in Huntington?
I am now.
Okay, go.
Here's my question. And it came up yesterday in discussion with a man in his 80s who was in Korea. I am 71.
Right.
I started working in New York, J. Walter Thompson, large advertising agency out of school, and when I was 21. And the men I had worked with, the older men, had been in Korea.
Yeah.
And I was drafted, left New York, went home to Ohio, took a trip to Kentucky.
Yep.
Had the physical.
Yeah.
And they turned me down.
Oh, because you had flat feet.
I had flat feet. Yeah. And it's called 1Y. And I had a little bit of a guilt to that. I still a little bit do. And I always wondered, why was I turned down for having...
Okay, that's a great question, Charles, and we're going to get an answer for it. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, Charles, actually, they don't turn down people with flat feet unless they're really bad anymore. There's all different types of flat feet, and back in that day, they thought for soldiers, you wouldn't be able to march without getting tired, achy, painful feet, and you'd be left behind. The one that's left behind is the one that gets shot.
So. And there are and there are those people who thought if they did have flat feet, they were very lucky.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They got the aid.
But not Charles. Charles, you felt guilty?
Nothing.
I did, because everybody had all these stories, and I had been at my own agency, and I had clients who were in Vietnam, and here I am with flat feet and, a healthy person. But I must say now, when I'm working on my farm and so forth, my feet do get tired because I was explained that your foot is like a tripod, heel, the outside, and the ball.
Okay, Charles, back to you, Doug.
Thank you. Next time we're going to have you in studios, and you can help us.
You can demonstrate it. Hey, Charles, thanks for the call.
Good luck with the flat feet.
Always, and appreciate your program and all your insights. Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Ellie in Kingston. Ellie, you're on. Ellie?
Hello?
Hello, is it L?
Or L.
Say L. Okay, go ahead.
So I have bunions on both my feet, bunions on each side.
A very popular question when Doug Tooman comes on. We hear a lot about bunions.
And I have flat feet and fallen arches.
Oof.
And I went to the doctor last year, and he told me that I had a pinched nerve because I was having a real difficult time walking. And the bottom of my feet, I guess the ball of my feet too, would bother me a lot. But I was doing some exercise for it, and it hasn't been bothering me as much. But the pinched nerve is bothering me. I'm wondering if I remove the bunions, if it might irritate it or if it'll make it worse, and if there are exercises I can do to, like, strengthen the muscles or whatever, or if an MRI will pick up, more detailed problems.
Okay, that's a lot of questions, and I'm going to try to give my best shot for you. First, let me explain what bunions are.
Very important.
Yeah, you have them on the inside and the outside of your foot or feet, right?
Yes, sir.
And a bunion is, it actually looks like a growth of bone over the big toe joint or the outside of the foot, but it's really not an excessive growth. It's actually a bone that moves a little bit out of alignment. It's predisposed because of heredity and genetics. And
how's it look? Does it sort of disfigure your foot?
Yeah, it does. For a lot of people, it can get really severe, and bones and toes can over underlap each other, and they can get really nasty. And for the average person, they just got a bump that when they wear certain shoes, it becomes painful.
Yeah, but if you've got an active sex life and and you have, you know, a bunion on your feet,
cramps.
Somebody may look at that foot and say, you know, especially
well,
somebody
well,
with
you
a
don't
foot
have
fet-
the active
with somebody
sex
with
life.
A foot fetish might look.
Exactly. Yeah. Either way, you know, I'm not sure if it's getting in the way of it, but Al, it's a with your bunions, when you have malalignments like that, your some of the bones can start to pinch other areas, which is how you might get a pinched nerve in the ball of your foot in that area.
Oh.
So it all goes together, kind of like dominoes. One thing causes the next.
Like the ankle bone is connected to the foot bone.
As it goes up. So with your foot, absolutely, if you fix something like a bunion, it's only can help that pinched nerve. We're in Kingston, right down the block from you, I'm sure. So it's easy to come in and have us take a look to see if anything needs to be fixed or if it should be fixed at all.
Okay.
And how we can help you. Did that help you at all, Elle? Is that...
It did. Actually, the pinched nerve, the doctor said, was on, like, the top of the foot. And
yep.
I think I twisted the foot once on, like, a sidewalk that was uneven.
Yeah.
And he said maybe that's probably how I got it.
Right. It might be. And sometimes they go away, and sometimes they need treatment to go away.
And there are no exercises for it, like, that
for,
you can...
For pinched nerves, it's hard to do exercises. They're not an elastic tissue that's gonna, but if you just massage the tissue a little bit, it's not necessarily exercise. Massage the tissue, rub things into the tissue, you know, like topical anti-inflammatories, or just give it good massages. Sometimes that will help, Elle.
Okay.
And we're right in Hurley Avenue, so feel
hey,
free.
Thanks, Elle.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go to Liz in Steventown, which, of course, is the only one in the world, Steventown.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah.
There was a sign that said so, and then they stole the sign. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi. Actually, doctor, it's the same question about bunions, but I have very severe bunions, which I've treated conservatively for years and years. I'm extremely active. I work out, bike, yoga, ski, dance. I've seen like 6 surgeons in New York who basically recommend the same procedure, the Lapidus with like a base osteotomy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's very radical, very complicated, and they all of them say I will definitely lose flexibility, 6 to 8 weeks on crutches, blah, blah. I've managed conservatively thus far, but I, you know, as Alan said, I have like a deformity of epic proportions at this point. I'm mostly concerned about the length of recovery time from this Lapidus, mm-hmm. which seems some people have told me 6 months to a year, and I am, you know, deathly frightened of being out of commission for that long. And the results, they say, you will lose your flexibility in your foot.
Okay, no, Liz, we got that part.
Okay,
there are a lot
great.
Of people behind you, so let's go to Doug.
Go ahead, doctor.
Okay, so where is Steventown, by the way? Is it near?
Steventown is right up there.
Right up here. Okay, great. So, Liz, let me just go over a few things with you as far as bunions. There's mild, moderate, severe. Obviously, you have a severe bunion. If we're talking about a Lapidus, for everybody out there, the correction for you, and I'm not looking at your x-rays, would be one that will realign your forefoot, get everything lined up. And I can tell you that we do a lot of Lapidus is in our practice, and
mm-hmm.
They're common. They're not anything overly complex, not overly damaging to the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all athletes in our practice, I'm a runner. I've been running marathons for many years and so on and so forth. We've done that. We return people to skiing, running, biking, all of these sports.
6 months?
No. It's not 6 months. I mean, maybe 6 months before you totally forget about your foot. But
mm-hmm.
The Lapidus procedure requires a non-weight-bearing period as opposed to some other bunionectomies where you're up and walking, you know, some days almost immediately. So you'll be off your foot depending upon the surgeon what they require.
Mm-hmm.
In our practice, it could be up to 6 weeks, but with some of the new fixation techniques.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting people back walking in cam walkers and the like sooner, but mm-hmm. every bone, no matter what you do, takes 6 to 8 weeks to heal.
Sure.
And you should not lose flexibility in your great toe joint because that procedure's done at the bottom of the bone, not up by the big toe joint.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for you to lose flexibility. There's no reason for you not to be able to return to running and yoga and all the sports that you like. You're not having a fusion done. So I wouldn't be nervous about it. If the doctors are nervous, I would go to a doctor that's not nervous about it and just make sure they're board certified in what they do.
Okay, now implicit in Liz's mm-hmm. question, which I found very interesting, mm-hmm. is this sort of, I went to see these 6 doctors mm-hmm. in New York.
Right.
Are New York doctors better than Kingston doctors?
Not Kingston doctors. I don't know about other areas. Actually, our practice, every practice is different. Our practice, we line up people in, you know, every Thursday there's 5 to 8 to 10 different bunionectomies that are being done by our surgeons. So it's commonplace routine.
Speak to this business about New York versus anywhere else.
Yeah, it depends where the training is. Matter of fact, in my experience, it's a blood sample everywhere you go. In New York City, there's more doctors, so you get more good doctors, but you also get more bad doctors. You know, in small areas,
okay.
if you don't have that population size, if you have three doctors, the chance of one being a world-class surgeon is not that high. But, you know, there's great surgeons everywhere. The quality of life is great in this area, and great doctors come to this area.
Oh, for sure.
And Liz, will you look out for that sign, please?
I will. I'm trying to find it. We're the only Steventown in the world.
That's right. That's
Thanks.
The one. Thanks,
okay,
Liz. Bye. Let's go to Stuart in Burlington. Stuart, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're good.
Thanks for having me on. I'm not calling about nerve pain, and I'm not calling about bunions. Oh, my gosh. Those are heavy hitters.
I'll bet you're calling about athlete's foot.
I get it in my right foot sometimes.
Okay. Yep.
It's funny that it recurs in the same spot every time. I ran two New York City marathons, 98 and 99. I'm up in the Burlington area now. But I've been swimming heavily for the last 6-8 weeks, you know, with the warmer weather and going to the lake and a changing room. But the funny thing is it returns to the same, you know, between my second and my third toe. It can be treated successfully with that spray a lot of times. I'm just wondering if there's another natural sprayer. Number one, why it returns to the same spot. And number two, is there anything else I can do aside from the sprays to treat it?
Sure. I ran those same marathons with you. I was out there.
Oh, cool.
98.
You were probably ahead of me.
It's a fun thing to be no matter where you finish out there. It's a great accomplishment. Congratulations. Anyway, recurring athlete's foot. Thank you. Recurring athlete's foot in the forefoot. You know what? It's not uncommon to get the same spot, same foot. It's your weak spot. It's your vulnerable spot. And it's an area where your body has allowed the area to take hold. And what I would recommend doing is get a prescription antifungal from one of your docs that you can use periodically. So you may not need to use it every single day, but if you use it maybe once a week when you don't have it, it'll just keep the fungal colonies and the count down, so it may not recur. When you don't treat it for a while, it has the opportunity to build up and then all of a sudden come back. If you're running, get the socks, Stuart, that are the blister-free socks that don't keep as much moisture. People think cotton's the best. They're not. Make sure they're wick away moisture, Coolmax, whatever it can be, synthetic materials, and use daily foot powders. You can use the spray. But I would get a prescription antifungal to keep on hand, and that'll probably prevent it from coming back.
Now, for a while, I was putting some of the, you know, gold metal, whatever they call that.
Gold bonds?
Gold bond, yeah, into the sock.
Yes,
is that prophylactically good?
Anything that keeps away the sweating and keeps the fungal count down is great.
Stuart, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Can you tell me what does the prescription look like? Is it a spray? Is it
No, you got to get a prescription from a doctor for an antifungal cream or gel.
Oh, it's a cream.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a cream or gel. Okay. Yep, and you know everybody uses different ones in their practices, but the prescription ones are a little more broad spectrum and they work a little quicker and better than the over the counter ones. More active
ingredients. Thank you very much, and I support NPR, and I appreciate you guys being here.
Okay, thanks, Stuart.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Wonderful day.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Your chances are 3 out of 5 of getting in right now if you call at this moment. But in a few moments, then your chances will be 1 out of nothing. So let's go to Christina in Albany. Okay, Christina, you're on.
Hi, doctor. My name's Christina. I'm living in Albany, and I went to college starting in 2003, and this is why I think what I have is a fungus. Mm-hmm. And right about when I went to college for the first time, living in the freshman dorms, I noticed that my toenails on my two big toes, I would get something that would start to look like a bruise. And I originally thought that maybe I just dropped something on my foot and no big deal. And then what ends up happening is the toenail turns, I guess you would call it cloudy, and then kind of starts to ingrow upon itself, and then I usually just cut it off. And I've been doing this now for almost 10 years. And it's just, you know, it keeps coming back. And no matter what I do, no matter what I buy over the counter, nothing seems to be getting rid of it. So I was just wondering if you had any recommendations or, you know, things that I might want to pursue to see if this will stop.
Sure, Kristen, because you're young. You've only been out of college a short time. I assume you're out of college now. So the toenail fungus is something we treat on a daily, regular basis. It's just everybody's got it. And certainly, as a young person, you don't want to grow up to be an older person with 10 fungal toenails, which is way, way, way too common. So I would hop on it, and I would treat it. And you've done a lot of the over-the-counter types of treatments. And they have about the best over-the-counter is about 10%. Success rate on a curative for the curing the fungus and the toenails. Then you move on to other things, and that's where you may have to see a good podiatrist. And the other things, in our office, we have two treatments above and beyond the topicals, which we certainly will try. One are the oral medications, which kind of get a bad rap, but they are effective. About a 60 to 70% cure rate in the studies. It's a pill a day for 3 months, and people don't like to take pills, and I understand that, but it does cure it in about 60, 70% of the time. And the other thing that we have in our office that we just recently got is a new generation of lasers that can be treating toenail fungus as well. And the advantage of that is that it doesn't require to be on the pills, and it's a one treatment. And it has about the same efficacy as the pills. Those would be the two things I'd move up to, which would be either the oral medications. The common one is called Lamisil tablets, and the other one is the laser for treatment of fungal toenails. And they both work about the same, so it's just a matter of what's easier for you.
And are those the ones that they have to check your liver or do some type of blood test at the same time?
Yeah, for the pills, that's what we usually do. That's the protocol because it has potential side effects. In reality, they're very small as far as that, but you don't want to be the one that gets a side effect either.
Sure. So. Right. And just one follow-up question, Doctor.
Sure.
So you said 10 fungal toenails. This is something that can spread?
It is, and it can. It is spreadable and can spread. So that's why at least you probably haven't spread because you've been using the antifungals. And that's one of the good things that at least the topicals do. They prevent it from spreading. If they get it better or not, that's not.
Would you
story.
Put it right on the top of the nail?
Top of the toenail around the skin, yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
Hey, Christina, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to warn our wonderful screen caller, Daryl Bart, not to take off the little yellow things until we're absolutely done. That's okay with the person. Let's go to Jeff in Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having the program on. Quick question. Over the years, on my right foot, I end up with a hardened callus on the ball of my foot. It'll get to the point where it'll just feel almost like rock-like and just press into my foot, and I end up having to soak my foot and almost peel it out like dead skin.
Oh.
And then after a while, it'll end up coming back.
Yep.
And this is a process that's been repeated over several years, and I've thought about going to a podiatrist to see about it. I'm just wondering if there's anything that can be done about it or what your thoughts were.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Jeff, good question. And you have a common problem, and it's from a dropped or plantar flex, the medical term metatarsal. Basically what that means is there's a spot on the ball of your right foot where you have five metatarsal bones in the ball of your foot. One of them takes a little too much pressure based on the alignment of your foot. So as it takes too much pressure, the body responds to that by building up a callus in the ball of your foot. And in many cases, they can become painful, which is why you've been doing what you're doing, trying to take it off and take it down to give you some relief. Now, at a doctor's office, a podiatry office, what they'll try to do is evaluate, is that the actual reason it's there, and usually it is. And then we'll try to do something to offload or take pressure off of that spot. And that will come with possibly, Jeff, an in-shoe orthotic. So don't be surprised if the doc says, let's put you into an orthotic, which can rebalance the weight-bearing load and minimize that occurrence or recurrence of that callus. Sometimes if it's really painful and really bad, a doc may recommend surgery on the metatarsal to lift it up and take it out of the way. But more than likely, I would recommend first trying orthotics from a good podiatrist.
I wonder because I'm a drummer and that's my bass drum foot. So when I play and I play quite a bit, that's the foot that I use to rock out with. And it's I just wonder if it's a coincidence that.
Well, maybe you're playing too loud. All drum players play too loud.
That's very funny. But you're probably right. But anyway, all right. Thanks a lot. I'll look into that then.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, Jeff.
The last bar mitzvah I went to, the guy was playing way too loud.
At the bar mitzvah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Ann in Niskayuna. Okay, Ann.
They still have bands, not DJs?
No. Yeah, they have bands. My band, the Satellites for Music Out of This World, was always told to shut up at these places. Okay, Ann, go. Ann. I don't know. It says here,
is
Ann.
Me?
Who are you?
Oh, Alan.
Oh, it's Alan. Okay,
yeah.
Alan in Holyoke. Okay, put him up there. He's on now. Okay, go ahead, Alan.
I have a sensation in both of my feet where it feels like my socks are scrunched up into my toes.
Yeah. No, I know that. I have that too. Go ahead.
Actually, we talked about that earlier, Alan. What that is, you're actually developing what's called a neuroma, or someone called in early about a Morton's neuroma.
Yeah, but they come and go, don't they?
Sometimes they come and
Mine
stay.
Mine comes and goes.
You're lucky so far.
Yeah.
They can come and go. If the nerve is a little bit aggravated, it'll come and go. If it's a lot aggravated, it may come and stay.
I know exactly the feeling. So yeah. What should he do about it?
Well, actually, a tough one because does it go away at times, Alan? Does it stick around all the time?
There most of the time, sometimes it's worse than others.
Mm-hmm. Painful or just sensation weird?
No, it's mostly just a weird sensation, although lately I've noticed that, I don't know if it's the same thing, but the balls of my feet tend to get really hot.
Yeah, it's probably related, more than likely. Alan, you may want to visit a podiatrist and determine if they want to treat that.
Well, can they do something?
Well, yeah. In many cases, we'll do a corticosteroid injection to get that nerve to stop feeling like that.
Do they last for a long time?
It can, and sometimes a series of injections. You might do one up to three injections, and we can get that sensation to resolve. I usually like to treat them when they're painful, but it is an annoying sensation, so we will use that or potentially an alcohol block or sometimes other weight-bearing distribution techniques like an orthotic, take the pressure off the nerve. But it is a nerve irritation, Alan, probably a neuroma in the ball of your foot.
Ooh. I do spend
a lot of time crouched down.
Yeah, well, you
How come?
That's part of my job.
What's your job?
Plumber.
Oh, plumber.
I work on dish machines. Very similar. I work on dishwashers.
Oh, boy. Ah,
there you go. Yeah, that's one of the challenges. You're traumatizing those nerves in the ball of your foot. So it hasn't gone to the really painful part, but that's what's going on. So
get it
looked
worse?
At and see if it can. Yeah, it actually can get worse. Hopefully it won't for you because you're a nice guy and it won't get worse.
And your name is Alan.
And your name is Alan.
Hey, Alan, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and we will be, I swear, we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center, Poughkeepsie, graduate program in social work and graduate and undergraduate programs in nursing, hosting an open house July 10th, 6 to 8 p.m., adelphi.edu/Hudson Valley. St. Francis Hospital and Health Centers, Poughkeepsie, serving the healthcare needs of the community, including trauma and emergency care, wound healing, and hyperbaric medicine. sfhospital.org. Bra and Girl, 35 Railroad Street, Great Barrington, and North Street at Crawford Square, Pittsfield. A bra and lingerie boutique for women featuring Wacol, Chantal, and Cosabella, braandgirl.com. Ventford Hall, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting Clara, a summer play. Clara Schumann, wife of Robert, mother of eight, concert pianist through September 2nd. GildedAge.org. And So Many Roads Printing, Saugerties, New York, printing messages on t-shirts, stickers, and magnets, archival G. Clay prints, custom graphics, knitting, and crocheting available. SoManyRoadsPrinting.com.
And we are back. We've rounded the bend on the show. This is the last third of the show. We're picking up the pace. Let's go to Ann in Niskayuna. Ann, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon, Alan and Doctor. Hey. I actually just have a question for you. About 6 weeks ago, I injured my foot really badly, probably worse than I ever have in my life in a Zumba class. And I was out for about 6 weeks, and uh-huh. I didn't know if I broke it or what I did. I went to the doctor, and you know, the doctor just informed me that it was probably just a sprain, though I've never had any pain that intense. And it's just now, after 6 weeks, getting to the point where I will be able to start exercising again. And so I've been, like, definitely feeling, like, caged up, and I'm ready to get back out there. And I'm wondering if, I mean, I just don't want this to ever happen again. I've never had to be down for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Did I put it in a position where this could happen again? I'm 32. I know when I was 14, I landed on the same foot, this right foot, mm-hmm. in a similar position, and I remember it being pretty bad.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, do I have a predisposition now in that area?
Well, let me ask you a question, Ann. Was it a foot or an ankle sprain?
It was like the top of my foot. Uh-huh. It was, you know, right, kind of the top of my right foot.
And did you get x-rays? I didn't
know.
No,
they said not to have the x-rays if it wasn't, unless it was getting worse or not getting better.
Well, you know, I would say that if you came to my practice, I would look at pictures because you never know when you have a really bad foot sprain if you've done some damage to some bones or alignments.
No.
I don't think you did, but I'm just saying it's when it's ever that bad, I would insist on an x-ray next time. Hopefully it'll never be that bad again. The mm-hmm. answer to the question is if it's not your ankle, you're probably not going to be predisposed to this. Ankle ligaments can get weakened, but if it's in your foot, those ligaments don't usually get too weak. So I would just make sure that you wear very supportive shoes. Now, in Zumba classes, are you barefoot or are you wearing sneakers?
No, I mean, I wear shoes, okay. Very good sneakers. Yeah. I wear orthotics.
Good. Well, make sure your sneakers are not running sneakers for the classes that you're doing Zumba in, because they're not, they're not good for lateral stability. Some people get away with it. You want to have a court shoe or an aerobic shoe, something that gives you that side-to-side support as well.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, you know, everybody wears running shoes nowadays, and they're really good for going forward, but they're not so good for the side-to-side movements. They're okay. Nothing wrong with them, but you may want to get some as a little more side-to-side support. And you may just want to get into a little bit of a brace that you can pick up for the first couple of few weeks. And you go back to class, mm-hmm. you'll have a little more feeling of stability. It will help you just feel more confident. But mm-hmm. I don't think you're at long-term danger here, you know, from this. I think you'll be back, and within a couple of months, you'll be back to your old self, and no worries. That's
a
my
month?
Guess. Well, a couple of months. It's already been 6 weeks, so.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so yeah. I should get some different shoes, basically, because I always go to this, you know, the stores and buy the best running shoes.
Yep, and just get a different pair for
but
Zumba.
But this kind of thing that's can cool. happen to anybody, right?
It can happen to anybody.
I mean, I remember stepping about 2 inches down from our porch when we lived out in Alford, Massachusetts, onto the ground, and I was on crutches for weeks and weeks and weeks. Who knew that kind of thing could happen to you?
All the time, one of the biggest injuries we see is, you know, people coming and stepped off the side of a curb.
Stepped the wrong way.
And their foot's broken or injured.
Hey, Ann, good call. Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
Good luck, Ann.
Okay,
got a suggestion. Now, this is kind of like telemedicine.
Sure.
I think you would love this. What if we had people Skype in, put the picture of the foot right on that camera up there?
Great idea. Thanks, Doug.
You can help me diagnose.
Yeah, right. Well, not bad. Let's go. Nothing stopped me before. Let's go to Julie in West Springfield. Julie, you're on. Go. Julie. Hello, Julie. Number four, Julie. Well, I don't know. I tried it. Didn't seem to work. I'll try it one more time. Julie, are you there?
Hi.
Okay. Julie's there.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, Daryl. Thank you very much. Yes. Go ahead, Julie. Yes. We're there.
Good. Okay. Here's my question.
Yep.
Yes?
Yes.
I'm here?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, I have bunions, I wear an orthotic, and I walk a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, but my main problem is I have this tightness across the top of my foot,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like someone is squeezing mm-hmm. across the top of my foot. I'm wondering what can be done, and is it likely to get worse?
Wait. Julie, is it possible you've broken a rule and have your radio on at the same time that you're talking to us?
I do.
You have to turn the radio off and listen to us through the phone. That's what's confusing you, okay? Because there's a 7-second delay in case some idiot calls up and says something they shouldn't.
Or Dr. Tillman says something he shouldn't.
Go ahead. Can you hear now, Julie?
Yes. Yeah. So, Julie, let me ask you a question. May I ask your age, if that's not too impolite?
Yeah, I'm 66.
66. Any vascular issues or anything like that? Any circulation issues? Are you a smoker or anything
like
that?
I'm not a smoker.
Okay.
Any
diabetes or circulation challenges in your...
No, I mean, I notice that my extremities in the winter are always cold.
Okay. And do you get tightness in your calf when you walk or only your foot?
right now, it's only the top of my foot. But for a while, it was the... that major bone in the front going into the foot.
You know, Julie, I'm not sure what's causing the tightness in your foot. It could be a number of things. It's hard to diagnose on the air, but it could be muscular, where the muscles tighten up. It could be a little bit of arthritis in the ball of your foot that makes it a little bit tight. So it's usually one of those things that's causing the tightness. Just make sure you're doing some flexibility exercises, moving your toes and warming up a little bit before you get out there so the muscles are nice and warm and the feet are nice and warm, and hopefully that won't happen. But if it does, you probably need to get into have somebody look at you to look at the underlying cause.
Now, okay? Can the bunion take up skin and pull the skin across?
Well, it will, but it won't cause that feeling of tightness. It'll cause pain over the bunion.
All right. Glad
the
I
body
asked.
Just, yeah, good question.
I also had a foot doctor prescribe a night stretch splint.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Sound like that might have some effectiveness for
what
this?
What is
too?
That?
Well, it's something for people who have painful heels and arches where when they go to sleep to stretch them out so they don't get the morning pain. A lot of people who have heel spurs get pain getting out of the bed in the morning, and we fit them with a night splint so when they get up, it's all stretched out and ready to go.
What is a?
It kind of looks like a an open ski boot, if you will, that has some Velcro straps.
And what's
straps.
The correction you're trying to
You're trying with? To stretch things out so things don't tighten up overnight. A lot of people get tight and stiff overnight.
Yeah, I do. Okay.
So that might be useful?
It might be. You might want to try that, Julie, if you have it on hand. Okay?
Yep.
Hey, Julie,
good
thanks
luck.
For calling from West Springfield.
Thank you very much.
We need all the West Springfielders we can get. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Daniela in Claverack. Okay, Daniela.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Okay, about a couple of years ago, I started experiencing a burning sensation in one foot during power walking. It was happening pretty regularly after 1 mile, 1.5 mile. And I went to several podiatrists, and I was diagnosed with a neuroma.
Yeah.
And given twice a steroid injection.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Steroid injections did not help at all.
Okay.
And and then I was given anti-inflammatory medication.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
work.
Still no help.
Yeah, no help.
And I still have pain. It gets much better if I open open sandals like Tevas. So
yes.
It feels like this extreme burning sensation is really related to close shoes, which we do not allow much breathing.
Right.
But the podiatrist, I've seen three different podiatrists, and they did not keep that factor in account.
Right. Well, certainly, so, Daniela, first of all, I want to say you have a healthy clientele here, walkers and runners and athletics.
Yeah.
This is a healthy group.
Yeah.
But neuromas are common. This is like the third call today for neuromas. And you know what? They can be chronic. And Daniela, the neuromas don't always get better with the steroid injections. Anti-inflammatories don't work. And, you know, shoes do make a difference. And if that's not making a difference to allow you to get out there, then you may want to look into one of the podiatrists who is very skilled to talk to you about fixing it so it can go away and get rid of the pain once and for all. That would be either with an neurectomy, which is taking out that bad nerve, or in our office, another treatment option that we have is cryotherapy, where we freeze the nerve before we take it out, or instead of taking it out. So that's another option. But you may be at that point if you don't want to live with it, Daniela.
Didn't any of those three podiatrists tell you that?
Excuse me?
Didn't any of the three podiatrists tell you what Dr. Tillinger just said?
No,
Well, they're always going to start off with conservative strategies.
So
we'll
the least invasive would be which one?
Well, the cryoablation is the least invasive.
Okay.
And neurectomy, which is a tried and true procedure, can be done at any time. Either one has the neurectomy certainly will cure you. The cryo has about a 70-80% curative rate, which is really high. Yeah. So,
And what's the rehabilitation time?
It depends which one. For the neurectomy,
for
it's
both
about,
of them.
Well,
yes.
Let's just say 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
2 to 3 weeks.
Total immobility or?
No, you can walk. Usually you're up and walking. Just careful.
Daniela, there are a lot of people behind you. We got about 4 minutes. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Let's go to Jeannie in Rensselaer. Jeannie, you're on.
Hi. My original call, I thought, was about hammer toe and problems I'm having with it, but I've been listening to the last three calls on neuroma and wondering if it's really the fourth neuroma call. The symptoms I get, like many of the other people, I'm very active. Symptoms of I've been hiking for a while, everything will be fine. And suddenly, when I sit down, suddenly it's an awful pain. And again, it feels like the socks, like right. I'm curling up under my socks.
Yeah.
Wanted to know if any way to prevent it. And when it stops, it seems like I can treat it by taking my shoes off and rubbing my foot. Which isn't always practical in the middle of a hike with other people. And anything else you can suggest that might, you know, get the pain to go away?
Well, maybe a half a size bigger or wider shoe might help a little bit for your hikes. Sometimes, again, it's that ski boot thing that's it's rigid, non-flexible, so that can bother you a little bit. But you're absolutely right. Taking your shoe off, massaging your foot will help. And other things, if you don't have an orthotic from a good podiatrist, Gene, I would certainly look into that as a conservative therapy, and maybe a corticosteroid injection might help resolve it for a period of time. Especially
it also happens if I've been driving for a long time, because it's in
thing.
The foot, the gas pedal.
Same
okay,
thing.
Nothing
same
you
kind
can
of
do
thing.
To prevent it.
Yeah. I think you're our fourth neuroma call. People who have hammer toes do get neuromas more frequently as well because of the position of the foot. It actually pushes the ball of the foot down.
What's a hammer toe again?
A hammer toe is a toe that doesn't stay straight. It actually buckles up at the knuckle in the toe. But when it does that, the forces are that it actually pushes the ball of the foot down, and the nerves become a little more predisposed to the pressure.
Now, Jeannie, don't be afraid to tell the people on the hike to go on ahead.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jean.
Bye.
Let's go to Jana in Shushan.
Hello, doctor. I'm just wondering what your opinion of Formula 3 for treating toe fungus is.
Are you sure she's not calling from Shawshank? Is that what it...
No, it's Shushan.
I like Formula 3.
Leave the jokes to me, Doug.
I'm sorry. The Formula 3 is one of the better topical antifungals you can get. I like it a lot. It has a lot of good ingredients, some natural ingredients, some tried-and-true ingredients. So for toenails, that's about as good an over-the-counter one as you'll get. It's probably equal even to the prescription Penlac. I like it even better than that. So it's a good one.
Oh, that's interesting. But from what I read about it, you can only get it through a doctor. I have never been able to find it.
Oh, really?
The counter.
Well, I do like it. We do keep it in our office, and we've looked at many of them, and that's the one I like the best. So that's why I like it. I didn't know you couldn't get it elsewhere. But, yeah, you can certainly call our office and get it from there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Jana. And while we're waiting for Alan.
We're here. Okay. Okay. Let's go to Ralph in Albany. Ralph?
Hi, doctor. I just want there was a couple of questions about athlete's foot, and I've had really bad athlete's foot a lot of times. The best thing that I've ever found is balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
You put it on your feet, you rub it. It really gets rid of it really quick. It gets rid of jock, itch, all those kind of things. Makes your skin soft. I've tried over the counter stuff, and none of them ever work, but vinegar works every time.
And if you don't, and actually just distilled white vinegar can work also.
Really?
Yeah, so whether it's balsamic or distilled white vinegar, they both have properties that can absolutely help you. Good call.
Yeah.
So, Ralph, you've used it on all different parts of your body? It's
some
only
places I can't mention, but yes, it works on anything that's not supposed to be there. It works very well.
Well, that's cool. Thank you very much, Ralph.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we had time for one more call, but I'll ask you a question since they've all given up already.
Right.
Don't ask me why. You know, you've done a great job today.
Thank you. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So, what if one foot is longer than the other foot? Then do you have feet problems? In other words, some people's legs are half an inch shorter on one side than the other.
Right. So you're talking about a limb length.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually causes mechanical challenges.
Does it?
So you absolutely can cause problems in your back and your feet, you know, absolutely. And if you're imbalanced, it will be a big deal.
So from your perspective, what is the best shoe brand to get?
Well, it's a hard question based on the person, woman, man, dressed.
Yeah.
But New Balance is easiest to get. It's everywhere. They make good shoes. A lot of it's made in America. So if I'm going to give one brand, it would be New Balance.
They do a
nice job.
Yeah.
And
what about shoes? I mean, that's sneaker shoes. What about, leather shoes, men's shoes?
It's really hard. That there are so many competing companies that it's really hard to give a brand that is my favorite. But you used to be Rockport years ago.
Oh, I loved Rockport.
It was very good. Clarks make good shoes. And Echo and, of course, the big shoe stores, make very good shoes.
Okay, very quickly,
as well.
I noticed that heels of shoes that I used to have because I pronated, I used to wear down really quickly. So now I have shoes. I don't know why. Can you be cured by yourself? Because I notice that they're not. I notice they're not doing that anymore.
Are you as active as you were?
This is an Echo. I'm looking at it right now. Echo. You see?
Yeah.
Not bad. Well, yeah. Actually, now that I look at it, it is.
It is worn a little bit. But see, just how telemedicine works. You get right in life here. So my question is, are you as active as you were?
Yeah.
Well, that's good then. You might be self-correcting. Yeah. Can I mention our website, people who didn't get in?
Sure, please, Doug.
Yeah, hvfa.com. That's HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com, hvfa.com. You can get a lot more information there as well as where our offices are. If anybody is in need of information, we're happy to help you more over the phones.
Okay, Doug Tooman, we love having you here. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley, health-quest.org for appointments. And where are my glasses? Too bad. I'll try to get this right. Okay. RJ Stables, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned dining establishment since 1960. Open for breakfast and lunch until 2, offering homemade breads, cookies, and pastries. Parking available, 413-586-4305. I want to thank our engineer, wonderful engineer Zach Malloy, and the equally charming and lovely Daryl Bard for answering the phones. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update.